Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be looking at the latest in health and healing, how to reduce your risk of breast cancer, especially if you're an African-American woman, how to get rid of the heavy metals in our body with a simple herb that's available inexpensively, why those instant noodle packages could be leading to heart disease, diabetes, and stroke, brand new information on that, and what's happening with Ayurvedic medicine. Seems as if 93% of all Ayurvedic medicinal plants are now facing extinction. High fructose corn syrup consumption in adolescence impairs learning and memory, and the placebo effect. I've said for a long time, don't look at the placebo as a negative, look at it as a positive. Well, finally, experts at Harvard Medical School are doing just that. I'll give you the insights on that. Antidepressants are now associated with an increased death among critically ill patients, plus a lot more on health and healing. Then today we're going to examine on our environmental issue a lot of topics. We're going to look at the latest, quote, humanity could run out of water within 25 years, but be severely out of water within 5 years from now. The latest on that. From Paul Brown, climate change heralds the end of civilizations, and went back in time to look at what happened to Mayan civilization and the Mesopotamian civilization. They all had something in common when they ended. I'll share that. Bee crisis gets extra attention. Now, mind you, our USDA and our White House and all the government so-called experts say, we're not certain. We need more research. We don't want to have Monsanto or any of these other companies have to go through the difficulty of proving anything about bees and pesticides or GMOs. So, a group got together of scientists, and they found 800 studies that show why bees are dying. So do we need an 801? No, we do not. Also, a new look at what's really in fracking fluids, and it raises some red flags. We're also going to look at bottled water comes from the most drought-ridden places in the country. That just doesn't make any sense. I'll explore that. And a new study sees the Atlantic Ocean warming behind a host of recent climate shifts. What does it mean? If time permits, from commentaries today on social issues, cities are making it illegal to be homeless, from Michael Maskin. Also, if time permits today, the tyranny of the nanny state, where the government knows what's best for you. Unfortunately, historically, because of blind allegiance to political ideologies, people have believed that the government and its agencies know best. Do they? Well, we're going to take a look. And from John Kendall Hawkins, from Counterpunch, Atrocities in the War on Investigative Journalism. My guest later today will be Scott Tipps, and we're going to talk about updates on Big Pharma and the U.S. government's assault on natural health and supplements and your freedom of choice. They're really gearing it up, so we'll explore how this impacts you. Let's begin. For those of you who are of African-American background, the latest study from Boston University Medical Center, published in the peer-reviewed journal Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention, shows that regular exercise, including brisk walking, power walking, is associated with a decrease in the incidence of breast cancer in African-American women. Now, this was a large study, 44,000 African-American women, and it was covering 16 years, So it's an outstanding study. And what they found was that if you go out there and power walk, if you're doing brisk exercises, you're lowering your risk of breast cancer, and that's a big plus. By 25% less likely to develop breast cancer. Now, that's just one thing. Now, you know that all the other things we discuss on this program and all the other studies we show, like if you have curcumin or green tea or vitamin C or vitamin D or the omega-3 fatty acids, you also lower your risk of breast cancer. So if you put them all together into a healthy lifestyle, then you should be able to eliminate it by 100%. One of the ways that we get ourselves healthy if we've lived a life out of balance, which most people do at different times, is that we detoxify. And some people don't realize that to really detoxify properly, it's going to take about 2 to 3 years if you're consistent doing it every day. And one of the things we do is we chelate, C-H-E-L-A-T-E, chelate. That comes from the Greek chele, which is a claw-like, meaning just visualize a toxin like lead, cadmium, mercury that's lodged in your fat, in the neurons, in your body, in your cells, in your blood. And along comes a chelator, and it grabs a hold of that toxin and takes it out through the kidneys or the liver so you can expel it. Now, there are ways of doing it faster. If you use EDTA, ethylene, diamine, tetraacetic acid, yeah, that does it. That's where you get a chelation drip. But you can also do it with food. Now they have found that one of the most powerful foods for natural chelating, getting rid of the heavy metals in your body, is cilantro. Cilantro is in the parsley family. It's called Italian parsley. And this was published in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology. And they did this 25-day trial in the laboratory and found out that it really made a difference. Quote, significantly decreased lead deposition in the femur and severe lead-induced injury in the kidney. Moreover, cilantro increased the urinary excretion of delta ALA, which is an amino, levulinic acid, which is known to increase lead uptake. So the researchers conclude that cilantro contained substances that had a suppressive effect on lead deposition, meaning getting lead into your body. So that's important to get the lead out. So by increasing the cilantro in your diet, you're helping get rid of heavy metals, lead, mercury, cadmium, nickel, things that can cause you some problems, and do. I'm sure you've all seen, maybe you've even indulged in having instant noodles. Well, here is the problem. According to Baylor University Medical Center, quote, instant noodle eaters take heed. Recent Baylor research shows that significant consumption, that's 2 times a week, in my opinion, that's not significant, but that's all it takes, and including what they call Raman, R-A-M-A-N, may increase a person's risk of cardiometabolic syndrome, especially in women. The findings are published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Nutrition. And because Raman consumption is relatively high among Asian populations, the research focused primarily on South Korea, which is the highest per capita number of instant noodle consumers in the world. They've also seen that South Koreans have the highest increase very rapidly in health problems, specifically heart disease, in a number of overweight adults. And that increases your risk of death. And Baylor University's investigator on the study, MD Dr. Jun Sin, a clinical cardiologist and a fellow at Baylor and at Harvard School of Public Health, quote, while instant noodle intake is greater in Asian communities, the association between instant noodle consumption and metabolic syndrome is not widely studied. I decided to investigate in order to uncover more distinct connections. So we led this study, and they found that if you have instant noodles more than twice a week, you're going to end up with a higher incidence of cardiometabolic syndrome. And that raises the likelihood of developing heart disease, and that raises your risk of diabetes, stroke, and death. So, if you're a woman, also really bad. Why? Because after menopause, women have a tendency towards a greater amount of overweight and obesity and metabolic syndrome because of hormone shifting. And also because the packaging, the styrofoam containers, contain bisphenol A, which is used for packaging the noodles. And that bisphenol A interferes the way hormones send messages to the body, especially estrogen. So, quote, this research is significant since many people are consuming instant noodles without knowing possible health risks. Okay, at least now we know. We didn't before, now we do. We appreciate the research. And why would you eat instant noodles anything? Because they're not nutritious to begin with. I believe that Ayurvedic medicine is one of the most important healing systems in history. It's been around for thousands of years. Now they're finding out that the plants that are used in making the different Ayurvedic medicines are endangered. 93% of all wild medicinal plants are now facing extinction. Now, here's what I found interesting in this particular report, that researchers have recently found, quote, the extinction rates are currently 1,000 times, that's not 1,000%, that's 1,000 times higher than normal, due to deforestation, changes in climate, and the depletion of ocean fisheries. So one of the most important healing systems in the world could be finding itself unable to do what it's done because it won't have the plants to make its natural herbal medicines. I remember interviewing a medical doctor, a woman who had three children. First, I interviewed her. She was living in Boston, and I interviewed her by telephone. Then when she was in New York City, she came by the office because I had promised I would give her a large number of files that I had on the role of food preservatives, food additives, food coloring agents, and sugars, and the impact upon child's behavior. She said she was unaware that there was any such association, and she did not consider Dr. Feingold in California, who had done the original research showing that when children are given artificial coloring, food agents, preservatives, it can impact their behavior and cause them to be very hyper. So she's a very orthodox doctor on all levels, but she was concerned. She came in, and we gave her what amounted to maybe 200 major studies. So she spent the better part of a couple hours reading them, and then she said, can we sit and talk for one? I said, yes. And she was asking, why is it that we don't have this in our medical curriculum? We don't have it. I said, simple, because these are all quality independent studies, as you see. These are not anecdotal. But the paradigm from which you are taught in medical school has no relevance for most conditions that people see because it does not deal with prevention. Your studies in medical school deal with treatment, pathology. So you specialize in understanding the let's say, the pathological conditions of a stroke, of a tumor, of a inflamed joint, of macular degeneration, whatever it may be. You don't stop and ask, what led to this? You merely try to alleviate the symptoms or the cause as you have the tools, but yours are not curative tools. You don't have any medicine that really cures. You have medicines that can help the person in cases and reduce symptoms. But I've known of no medicine except for those that reverse sexually transmitted diseases like penicillin that will do that and take you to a healthier level. And then I showed her all these studies on Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, homeopathy, and herbalism, and she was surprised. There was a Dr. Farnsworth, an MD, PhD, who was the head of a pharmacology department at the University of Illinois, who had over 100,000 studies on herbs, their medicinal qualities, and bioactive ingredients. She was not aware of any of this. I then put her in touch with Dr. James Duke, in my opinion, one of the most important herbalists in American history. And Dr. Duke, who actually went down to his home and filmed his herbal garden, which was really special. It was so wonderful to sit in this relatively small, it was about 3 acres, but he had more growing in that 3 acres than I've ever seen in the way of different herbs, and he knew every single thing about every single, this is the leaf, you use the leaf, you use the stem, you use the root. And he worked for the U.S. Department of Agriculture for, I guess, 30 years, wrote a lot of papers. And I said, here are the studies he has on herbs that can reverse disease. Here are herbs that will improve the health of your adrenal glands if you're exhausted, and will help chelate out toxins, will lower blood pressure, will strengthen the heart. She wasn't aware of any of this. So then I asked her, I said, you have 3 kids. How far apart are they in age? She said, they're about 1 to 2 years apart each. I said, and do they like school? Well, some things they like, some they don't. Have you ever noticed when you give them anything with high fructose, corn syrup, that they're different? And she thought for a moment. And she was silent for about 2 or 3 minutes, and she said, yeah, they bounce off the walls. And she said she saw it when they start coming home and they drink colas. Normal before it, and quote, this is what she said, they bounce off the walls. I said, well, just out of curiosity, didn't you think that maybe change it? Give them orange juice, do they bounce off the wall? Apple juice, do they bounce off the wall? Grape juice, tomato juice, do they bounce off the wall? She said, they won't drink those. Why won't they drink them? Well, because we were never told that there was something wrong. She said, I grew up believing, and then through my medical practice and studies, that all things were acceptable in moderation. Okay. What if you were given a moderate amount of mercury, arsenic, poison ivy? Would you consider that acceptable? She said, of course not. I said, well, you get moderate amount, 1 part per million of fluoride, and that's enough to cause immunological dysfunction. It was interesting, this conversation we had, because I wasn't talking with a woman from Boston, a medical doctor, with a good background and good qualifications from Harvard. I was talking with every doctor in America. I was talking with every scientist. I was talking with every head of governmental agency. I was talking with all the policymakers. I was talking with everyone who heads a foundation, a medical foundation. I was talking with every group that is involved in public health. They're all the same. They're individually different as people, but they all have to share the same basic beliefs. Hence, it is the paradigm that is the problem. The doctor is only the good lieutenant who sees that the paradigm is adhered to and advocated. So I simply said, go home and get the high fructose out. Get all processed sugars out. Get all dairy out. Get everything that is a highly inflammatory agent out. Give them fresh fruits and juices when they're hungry or need energy. Start them off each day with a quality health drink or with oatmeal with some berries in it. And about 2 months later, I got a letter, and she said, I can't believe the difference. Now, I give you this as background because of a report, the latest, of which there are hundreds. This is from the peer-reviewed journal, Inflammatory Bowel Disease. Here's what it says. High fructose corn syrup consumption in adolescents impairs learning and memory. Also says that that metabolic disturbances and disorders occur when abnormal chemical reactions disrupt the process of converting food into sugars and acids. Diabetes is a good example. And then they talk about genetic engineering of the corn, and hence you're getting genetically engineered high fructose corn syrup. But all this is playing havoc on our DNA. And as a result, when we grow up as children having high fructose corn syrup beverages, it's going to definitely impact our learning, our memory, our energy, and our behavior, which in turn allows legions of school teachers, many of whom are outstanding and the rest shouldn't be teaching, but they're all, with rare exception, willing to accept that if Johnny isn't paying attention, he has a brain chemical imbalance. That's the paradigm, creating the talking points, creating the reality checks to which the good teacher cares enough about Johnny to make sure that Johnny gets on Ritalin and therefore helps him better concentrate. With the best of intentions, we've drugged 10 million American children this year. Please stop trying to help the kids correct their brain chemical imbalances. A, they don't have brain chemical imbalances. B, the entire paradigm of psychiatry is a fraud, complete, total fraud. And I welcome any psychiatrist from anywhere in the world on this program to debate me, just me, you and I, on the issue. And here would be the issue. You show me where you have a legitimate scientific-based argument that there's a brain chemical imbalance. You show me that there is a physical manifestation that can be verified to show that schizophrenia, bipolar, any of these actually exist. Show me. I will show you they do not exist, and the entire field of psychiatry as currently practiced under pharmaceutical model is a complete fraud, quackery at its worst. And you'll say, but, and I'll say, it's the paradigm. Just like the good doctor from Boston, and all the doctors will give women synthetic hormone replacement therapy to turn off their hot flashes and not even care or be concerned that they're going to also be putting them at risk of dying of a heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, dementia, and colorectal cancer. And I'll show you the doctors giving their patients statin drugs that are worthless junk, and that the cholesterol elevated controversy is a fraud. And good cardiologists who've actually stepped out of the paradigm, as terrifying as that is, know the truth. And all the rest are just good lieutenants. And this year, like last year, and the last 30 years, they're the number one cause of death. Wouldn't you imagine that if you've caused more deaths each year than heart attacks or strokes or cancer or diabetes, that maybe there might be a clarion moment? Maybe a moment where you simply have that epiphany and say, oh my God, our treatment is actually killing the patient. We don't have to worry about those moments happening because the paradigm is micromanaged, and we can thank the New York Times, the Washington Post, and all the major network and the cable network, and even programs, unfortunate as they may be, on Pacifica stations, one of our sister stations. They still support the vaccination where there's no science. So you see, it is the paradigm and the people smart enough to create it and control it. And finally, today on health and nutrition, there was a study that was shared with me because one of the physician scientists participating in it was visiting me in the laboratory where I was doing some research. And the person said that it was really one of those ooh-ah moments when a large study of a miracle new treatment for a specific disease was given to physicians, and there was a great deal of personalized information in why this was such a miracle treatment. The doctors then went on to prescribe this to their patients and gave them the insights, and there was a high statistical significant improvement or reversal. Then it was revealed that it was a placebo. It was a sham. There was no miracle. Then the question was, how then could patients have reversed or improved their condition if it was a placebo. It wasn't the patient. It was the patient's belief in the doctor who believed in the miracle. That is the power of an energy exchange. Because I was doing research on energy exchange, I found that that was just one of those kind of smiling moments. They're finally catching up. But they didn't take it further, because had they taken it further, then they would have gotten into the whole field of psychoneuroimmunology, of which there are over 3,000 studies. They would have seen that what you think, you can become. That a positive thought creates positive biochemistry, and negative thought, negative biochemistry. Rage, gossip, malicious nature, pessimism, negative biochemistry. We literally kill ourselves with our thoughts, or we heal ourselves with our thoughts, or we stay healthy with our thoughts. Now, from Harvard Medical School, quote, placebo effects demonstrates healing power in the mind, from Natural News. Experts at Harvard Medical School advocate that the placebo effect be received with more positivity rather than viewed as a deceptive or inaccurate measure designed to test health. They conclude that the power of thought can be extremely effective in helping people heal, focusing on physiological changes that have been linked to the placebo effect. The placebo effect involves someone being given medicine that is actually typically nothing more than a sugar pill, which does not contain active ingredients. Many times patients receiving a placebo are in need of healing a certain condition, report feeling significant better, if not altogether healed. The experts at Harvard explained that improvements may take place because the anticipated response that a person expects when given medication. The university's literature says that there is, quote, evidence that some of the placebo effects is a favorable reaction to care and attention from people who patients believe can help ease their suffering and distress. Quote, placebos may be an integral part of good medical care and an ally that should be embraced by doctors and patients like this. Harvard Medical School saying this. Good for them. Finally, again, people catching up. Down south, you used to have what were called praying physicians. Now, many of you probably have never heard of this. I've seen it a lot. A doctor goes into the hospital, takes the hand of the patient in bed, and prays. Now, this is a doctor that has all the tools and resources of Orthodox medicine, but chooses also the faith that the patient and that doctor believe in and pray. And we've seen numerous studies that prayer has the power to heal and improve. None of these doctors are ever criticized in that culture because it has been an important integral part of that. Now, the newer people coming up don't use it, but it was there for a long time. So just remember, if they're saying that a placebo works in medicine, then remember this axiom. You cannot have a half-truth in a universal reality, meaning that if homeopathy worked not based upon a molecular substance, but rather upon the energy and the memory of the energy of that original substance, because you've diluted it down to, well, there's nothing more than water there. And that's what confused the Orthodox mind. When it looked at it under a microscope, it says, just water, therefore it has no benefit, it's just placebo. But it wasn't a placebo. It worked and has worked because it was always the energy. That means that if the energy works on a person that's sick, energy works on a person that's well. And that means that a positive energy is not a placebo. It's an active exchange of positive energy, which impacts positive biochemistry. When you're doing yoga, when you're doing meditation, that's not a placebo. That's positive energy. So you see, it works outside of the medical paradigm. That's why it's universal truth. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Have you with us, everyone? I'm Gary Nall. Let me just go very quickly and summarize some of the latest on environmental issues. You can read the full-length articles on blog.garynall.com. That's blog, B-O-L-L-G, dot garynall.com, or go to garynall.com or progressiveradionetwork.com. We're putting up tremendous amount of articles, sometimes as many as 100 postings a day from progressive thinkers around the world on important issues. A new look at what's in fracking fluids raises red flags from the natural blaze. Quote, as the oil and gas drilling technique called hydraulic fracturing or fracking proliferates, a new study on the contents of the fluids involved in the process raises concerns about several ingredients. The scientists presenting the work at the National Meeting and Exposition of the American Chemical Society says that out of nearly 200 commonly used compounds, there are very little known about the potential health risk, about one-third, and 8 are toxic to mammals. There were 12,000 presentations on a wide range of scientific topics, and it's the world's largest scientific society. And Dr. William Stringfellow says he conducted the review of fracking contents to help resolve the public debate over the controversial drilling practice. Now, for those in this audience, you know that fracking involves injecting water with a mix of chemical additives into rock formations deep underground to promote the release of oil and gas. It has led to a natural gas boom in the U.S., but it's also stimulated major opposition and troubles because it contaminates water wells, increases air pollution near drilling sites, and increases the risk of earthquakes. Quote, the industrial side was saying, we're just using food additives, basically making ice cream here. On the other side, there's talk about the injection of thousands of toxic chemicals. As scientists, we look at the debate and ask, what's the real story? To find out, they took their team at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory and University of the Pacific, scour databases and reports to compile a list of substances commonly used in fracking. They include gelling agents to thicken the fluids, biocides to keep microbes from growing, sand to prop open tiny cracks in the rocks, and compounds to prevent pipe corrosion. What their analysis revealed was a little truth on both sides, with big caveats. Fracking fluids do contain many non-toxic and food-grade materials, but if something is edible or biodegradable, it doesn't automatically mean it can be easily disposed of. Then it's got a lot of toxins in there as well. So finally, we have the largest scientific body in the world saying there's a lot of problems here. And therefore, everywhere you can, stop gaseous hydrofracking. Good news. Just out of China, at the China Development Strategy Research Society's Committee on Cultural Strategy, they met with some of the world leaders on sustainability in agriculture, and they all condemned GMOs and glyphosate-based herbicides. They had professors from universities, research genetic scientists, medical doctors, veterinarians, livestock farmers, arable land, agricultural experts. They had them all there, and so now they're on top of this. And quote, China is the top manufacturer of glyphosate-based herbicides and also the main importer of GMO soy in the world. Any change in the policy of the Chinese government on this would have a huge global impact, and we all hope this will happen in the not-too-distant future. So in China, a whole group of leading scientists and activists from around the world have completed a report slamming GMOs and glyphosate at this Beijing conference. So the high probability is China will move against GMOs in the near future. for those in the government who continue to make apologies for the polluting industries, stop it. You've lost, just like on climate change. There's now a new report that has 800 studies showing that the damage by pesticides to bees and butterflies, pollinators, that's what is causing bee colony collapse. 800 studies. You don't have any studies on your side. 800-0. But we have a president that would rather side with the people who have money. Humanity could run out of water in 25 years around the entire world, drinking water. But we're going to run 40% of the world's population could be affected by water shortages in the next 5 years. So, quote, millions of gallons of water are needed at coal and natural gas-fired power plants. These plants require cooling systems in order to function. Well, nuclear is the largest user of water, by the way. There's no other source in the world that uses as much water in energy as nuclear, up to 2 billion gallons a day per plant. And in New York, 38 miles north of New York, you have Indian Point, and they have two plants there. So they're using 4 billion gallons a day. According to U.S. Energy Information Administration, approximately 67% of electricity generated this past year is derived from non-renewable fossil fuel combinations. So we're using water that is going to cause us to have problems in the future. Big problems. And finally, this talked about looking at a group of scholars and scientists looked at what was known as the Fertile Crescent. The ancient Mesopotamians, who had a wonderful culture and civilization for a long period of time, then it just ended, it collapsed. They looked at civilizations in Africa, Asia, parts of the United States, South America, and this was done at Tübingen University, Germany. And what they found was this, that I'll just give you one example, and this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nature, that as these civilizations, including the 12-million-strong Mayan civilization, which collapsed in a relatively short period of time, it was because of drought. Severe drought changed their entire way of growing food, and therefore they could not feed all their people. Right now we have 50% of the United States in severe drought, and we have 9 states in extreme drought. That's the highest measurement of drought. And it's not going to change in the foreseeable future. But we're doing absolutely nothing to educate the public about why these places are not sustainable for the future. We're just giving them tickets if they use too much water, and we're telling them we can't give you any more water, and whole communities in Texas and California are running out of water. Not a good place to be, but in spite of all that, some companies are, according to Mother Jones, bottled water comes from the most drought-ridden places in the country. And the biggest purveyor of this is California. More of the 45% comes from municipal water supply, meaning that companies, including Aquafina and Dasani, simply treat tap water, the same stuff that comes out of your faucet at home, and bottle it up. But these people have contracts and are allowed to do it. So where in California you may be fined, they won't be. Where you could have your water diminished or eliminated, they won't. You're looking at Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Nestle's, Crystal Geyser. So just don't buy them. Send a message. Because they got the contracts written on their behalf so they can take what little water is there for their own commercial use. And finally, on the environment, a new study, The Atlantic is warming behind a host of recent climate shifts. Quote, From the New York Times, Andrea Revkin, using climate models and observations, a fascinating study in this week's issue of Nature Climate Change points to a marked recent warming of the Atlantic Ocean as a powerful shaper of a host of notable changes in climate and ocean patterns in the last couple of decades, including the Pacific wind, sea level, and ocean patterns. Okay, well, here's what he didn't tell you, but is the likely outcome. You could see in the near future, you could see not just the water rising in places that are susceptible, such as Washington, D.C., lower Manhattan, all of Miami on the East Coast, and clear up through the Fort Lauderdale, Boca, West Palm Beach. But you could also see if that conveyor, the ocean conveyor that takes warm water north and brings cold water south, if that slows down or stops, which it could, then you're going to throw all of Europe on the water into another near ice age. That is a reality. I'm Gary Knoll. Let's go to our guest who's standing by, Scott Tipps, for a newsmaker update. Scott has been the general counsel for the National Health Federation, the world's oldest health freedom organization protecting citizens' health rights since 1989. And in 2007, he became its acting president and the editor of its Health Freedom News. He is the sole person representing health freedom to sit on the Codex Alimentarius Commission and is the author of the book Codex Alimentarius, Global Food Imperialism. He's a graduate magna cum laude from UCLA, studied the Sorbonne in Paris, and received his Juris Doctorate, University of California, Berkeley Law School. Nice to have you with us today.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for having me on.
Scott, give us an update on what the government is doing to try to take away our freedom of choice on health care.
Well, the most amazing thing that's happened, and it sneaked up on us, was, as you know, Gary, and I always learn so much when I listen to your program, so I very much appreciate being on it, is that with the new food labeling guidelines that the FDA is issuing, they are taking the opportunity in that 109-page document to conform, to harmonize most of the vitamin levels, the nutrient reference values, or what we call here the recommended daily dietary intake values of vitamins and minerals to the codex levels. For example, in the case of biotin, they're reducing the levels by 90% simply to conform them to the codex standards. And we at NHF have been fighting for really about 12 years now the dumbing down of the nutrient reference values, that is, the daily doses that they say that consumers both in America and elsewhere should take. And this we've been quite successful at blocking for 5 years. We'll have an upcoming Codex meeting in Bali, Indonesia, Thanksgiving week, at which there will be the critical period where we will have known whether we will win or lose on this issue. But in the meantime, the U.S., in a very quiet way, is trying to conform to these proposed Codex NRVs, and we see this in Europe through the European Food Supplements Authority. We also see it in Canada. We see it all over the world. South Africa recently, which has as much freedom in vitamin supplements as the U.S., has just had been subjected to regulations that will conform the South African complementary and alternative medicines to the European Food Supplements Directives on those subjects.
Let me put this in one second. Don't talk in legalese, if you would, please, Scott. Just talk in lay language so people can understand what you're saying. What you're saying is that a group of individuals who have no expertise in the field, but are really talking on behalf of the pharmaceutical industry, does not want you to be able to take a supplement of your choice for any reason. They've already made it so you can make no label claims. In other words, you can't say that any nutrient impacts any disease. And then they started off by doing it in Europe. So if you wanted to buy coenzyme Q10, if you wanted to buy L-arginine or N-acetylcysteine, any of the wonder nutrients that we see in this country, it's either you have to do it by prescription or you can't do it at all. So they got that through. Now they want to harmonize that with it, what we're doing in the United States, so that the outcome would probably be that the if this passes in the United States, and they'll do it in a stealth way because they've got Dick Durbin and some people on their side, that one day you would be seeing that the supplements we take would simply be substantially reduced, so you wouldn't have the variety. And then what you do take, the potencies would be reduced so much so that they would virtually be non-effective. And you'd be taking tiny doses like 1.3 milligrams, 1.6 milligrams to be complex, when we know that that doesn't do anything. And then by the time people realized they had been outmaneuvered, our paid-for legislators would not do anything about it, and we would simply then no longer have the benefit of having a part of our health guaranteed by this quality of the supplements we take and what they do for us. Is that accurate or inaccurate?
No, that's an accurate restatement of what I said. The fact is that what they're doing is working in concert throughout the world at this level to deprive us all of the means to protect our health from the increasing toxins and contaminants in the world. And this is what we've been opposing for a long time. You've been opposing for a long time, and hopefully your listeners have been opposing for a long time as we try to promote true health and freedom, frankly, for us to all choose what we want to put into our bodies.
What can we do about it this time? What can the people listening now do to support you and you being our representative out there fighting on our behalf?
Well, the main thing is it's not cheap to get to these meetings, and I've already been to 5 separate Codex meetings this year. It always costs us money, is to support the National Health Federation, because we're the only ones at these meetings who are speaking out for your interests. We are the only ones. Now, at these meetings, we can convince others. So go to our website, www.thenhf.com, and donate, because that's what sends us there. And the funny thing about it, Gary, is that this is an actual instance where your listeners can make a difference that impacts literally billions of people, because Codex covers 99% of the world's population now. Almost every country in the world is a member of Codex. And we had one gentleman who just donated simply $1,000. He was in Ireland. And that's what sent me to the 2009 meeting of the Nutrition Committee at Codex, where I was able, after an hour's argument on the floor of the Codex meeting room, to block their attempts, Australia and others' attempts, to dumb down the nutrient levels, to reduce vitamin C already from a ridiculously low 60 milligrams a day to 45 milligrams a day. So I was the hero, the ostensible hero, for blocking this. But really, the gentleman who donated the $1,000 was the real hero. And think about the difference that he made with that donation. Now, of course, not everyone's going to donate that much, but even little bits add up. And send us there to be your voice at these meetings and to stop this harmful stuff that is going on there.
We will do all we can to help you, Scott, because you're out there fighting on behalf and no one else is. Not on this. Not with the background you have, your legal background, your consummate interest in doing the right thing. Scott, thank you. Give us your email once more. It's nhf.com?
Yes, thenhf.com.
nhf.com. Go there. Because Codex Alimentarius, it should not exist, in my opinion. It's completely manipulated by special interest groups. And if people don't pay attention to this, the day will come when they will not be able to have supplements that they want. If they get a supplement, they might have to pay a prescription to get it, meaning see a doctor to get a prescription to get a low, low potency. They want to give you 45 milligrams. Let me explain that. The most you could get in a vitamin C supplement would be 45 milligrams. 45. All right? So that's the game they're playing, because then they would control the entire vitamin industry, and that's also what they're doing. They've been buying up companies. The pharmaceutical companies are buying them up, just like the genetic engineering companies buying up all the heirloom seed and other smaller seed companies. They control it. Thanks all for what you're doing, Scott.
Thank you, Gary, for your support. Thanks for all the great information you get out there to help educate all of us. And we appreciate you very much.
Look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you.
Scott
Thank
Tips, you. T-I-P-S, from Southern California. I'm Gary Nall, and we're out of time. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Thank you.